Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that very much. Okay, let's... Boy, I tell you what, we saw the sun a little bit yesterday. I thought it was clearing up, but it just kind of stuck its head out and then went back into the clouds. And so, don't know when this is going to cease. Not complaining, we need the rain. And so... Okay, let's talk about prayer. Now, just to kind of fill you in, we got several things going on. Friday night, the young people... So please be in prayer in regard to the young people that come over. There's going to be some visitors that Mackenzie Wise is inviting four of her friends. And I, when she came up and told me that Sunday, I said, "Oh, honey, they'll eat all of our ice cream." She looked up at me for a minute and then smiled. And so let's just be in prayer for the young people and Friday night. And then a week from tonight, Joe will be here, and I just hope all of you will be led of the Spirit, come and home. Be led of the flesh, just get here. But good attendance for Joe and his mother. I assume she's going to be here, and so he spoke in Tucson. He spoke in Phoenix. And a couple other little churches in that area. So please keep all of that in prayer. And we'll take an offering. Let's see. Be here next Wednesday. What about an impromptu offering Sunday? Just so we can give him a gift. Or he's going back to Ghana a week after he's here. To continue their year. We can take an offering for the missionary work there. Okay. We'll do that.
Can you put that on the internet?
Yeah. I'll have Leslie put that on the internet. And Kate, you were the only one that going like that, so I just said yes.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was just looking at me, but you were.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, okay. Kate and I'll take an offering. It may just be the two of us gifts, so I said, but.
Missionary book, the second one.
Of course, we're assuming you've read the first one.
I
think so. I know he started it. So knowing him, he did finish it. That's what we got going in September, the rest of this month. And please be in prayer. For my heart, and get this beat down, blood pressure down. Continue to be in prayer for Tish and her cancer. And Cindy Edwards and her two daughters, pray for them. And got a note from Betty Soup, and just such a faithful. She's been faithful for long time. And thanks for the teaching and all, but she said, I'm doing pretty good, but I do have a large abdominal aneurysm. The doctor thinks it will rupture, and that will be it. So, of course, they want to do surgery. But I tell them I'm not going until God's ready to take me. And if that's His way, that's okay. I've had a good quality of life. If I survived surgery at 88, I don't want to spend the rest of it in a nursing home. I've enjoyed life too much. And to end it that way. So we've had a cool summer. So we need to be in prayer for Betty Sue. She'll be led in wisdom what to do and not do. And so can't make a decision for someone else, but be in prayer for her. She's been very faithful, not only in her growing in our teaching, but in spreading it, telling others, family, just everybody. She's just been a wonderful warrior. So glad to have her and with us. So Betty, when you get this, we're in prayer for you. And just pray you'll give him wisdom and strength. And God will just touch that aneurysm and take care of it. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Just remember the Johnson family in Tucson.
Johnson family in Tucson need our prayers, the older, the parents, and then the family, the children family. So, family children, so we need to be in prayer for them, just spiritually and otherwise.
Parents and one daughter.
Okay. We need to be in prayer for them spiritually as they continue on their spiritual journey. Don't think they're related to John's church at all. I didn't get that feeling at all from the email, so maybe we need to tell her about John's church. Okay. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's just so imperative that we understand and realize every day we're in a spiritual warfare. We need to be on alert every day in our marriages, in our spiritual life, in our single life, and in every area, but growing in the Word, walking in the Spirit, Father. Because there's an adversary out there who does not sleep. And he labors night and day, accusing believers, seeking who to devour, getting us distracted, getting us occupied with ourselves, getting us to be so occupied with what's going on in our lives, or so depressed about what's not going on in our lives, and just doing so many things, Father, and it's so imperative that we understand that we do have this enemy that we war against. Father, pray that tonight, as we close out the study on the adversary, that your Spirit will just open our eyes to these things and cause us to be constantly aware. A lot of things happen in our marriages, a lot of things happen in our lives, in our work, in our health, and in our momentum, that we don't see the invisible warfare. We just see it as something going on in the flesh, something going on in the world, something going on materially. There's nothing happens in our life that isn't, first of all, sponsored or a reaction or something by what's going on in the invisible realm. We saw that in the book of Job. Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to these things in Christ's name. Amen. So open the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just read, by way of introduction to our final study on Satan tonight, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Okay, people, that's wonderful. Oh, wow, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. How? How do you do that? How are you strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might? People, that's the Holy Spirit. That's how we're strong in the Lord, is when we're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Not fighting, not taking him on, but stand firm. Our struggle is not against our husbands and wives and children and family and in-laws and bylaws, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's why I'm I'm sorry. I love all the rhetoric. I love listening to a lot of the people that spend their lives staying up on what's going on in the world today, and the talk radio and the TV and Limbeck and these people. But people, if we don't bring in the Bible, if we don't bring it back, if we don't bring back the power of the Holy Spirit, if we don't bring back God, it's just rhetoric. I mean, we removed the Bible from so many areas, the judicial system, educational system, even churches, until we get this back. It's just, I'm sorry, it's rhetoric. Got to have power. Got to have power to stand, not just that desire. And we battle against the forces of darkness. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Note again, stand firm. Not fight. Just stand firm. Don't lose ground. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand firm in the freedom wherewith you have been set free. Don't go back under law. Stand firm in the full armor of God. Verse 14 says it again. Stand firm. Third time. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and you've already done this, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times. All times, through the day, while you're driving, while you're just anything, just thinking, pray. All times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. Be on the alert because he's seeking to sidestep you, seeking to knock you out of the battle. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador of chains, and in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, that in mind now, let's go on back and finish up our study on the doctrine of Satan. Now, we have looked at last time, we've looked at the past of him, and we've already done that, the present and the future. In the past, he was a seal, he was a guardian, he was a priest, he was the one who rebelled against God. And we spent time in all of these things. Then we came to Roman numeral 5, the strategies of Satan to fulfill his master plan. 1, religion is Satan's ace trump. Religion is Satan's ace trump. And here we took up, oh my goodness, some 14, 15, let's see, yeah, some 15 points. And then we did not have class last week, so we pick it up now with point 2. Point 1 was his religion, and it was religion. And now point 2, his target. His target. What's his target? His target is your mind. A lot of times, ladies, it all said, all a man wants is her body. Satan wants your mind. He wants the mind of every one of us. Your mind is the battlefield, people. It's the battlefield. The thinking, the ability to think. Now, I'm not going to spend time tonight, but boy, the whole educational system that we're under now is not designed to bring anyone, to cause anyone to think. It's to give them information, but not teach them to think. We're not taught about socialism, communism, capitalism, all these types, Marxism, and the difference in all these things. They're not taught to think their way through these things. And we've geared our education to the lowest common denominator, which means we even take that and dilute it, the ability to think. But the battle is your mind. Let's just go through a few verses together. Matthew 16:23. Matthew 16:23. Let's take a look. Matthew 16, verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, Jesus Christ turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." So the whole mindset that we produce, people, our thought process. And when people do this in your spiritual life, they are acting as Satan. One of his schemes is to get us to have our mindset on the interest of the world, our interest, interest of man, and not on God's interest. Let's look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Just going to give you a lot of verses you can look at later and cogitate on them, but let's just look at them together. Luke 24. And we want to look at verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Because this is where the battle is. It's in our mind. When we get into our doctrine, our study of total depravity, a study of the mind. This is where we have to be taught the scriptures under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent, deceived Eve, deception is one of his great weapons, deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of Christ. In other words, he's just got so many ways to take us away from the study of Scripture, from walking in the power of the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, love of the Word. He's got so many schemes and craftiness. And the craftiness, people, is like, well, this isn't sin, this isn't this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do these things. That's craftiness, how he fools us into thinking these things. Let's look at 2 John, way over here near Revelation, 2 John 7. There was no chapters. 2 John 7. Okay, 2 John 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now that means that there are a lot of Antichrists. Remember, Antichrist is not talked about in Revelation. Only in 1 John is he talked about. And this gives you an idea of what the Antichrist is. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 that we've already spent time on. Romans 1, 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, America today, God gave them over to a depraved mind. And we're going to study the doctrine of total depravity. Gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. We have it in the mind, and then we do it. But first it's in the mind. We've seen this in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. That the being bored, just falling apart or something, it's a choice. You make that choice. It's very difficult for people to grasp that. You can make just as easy a choice to depend on the Lord Or you can make a choice to fall apart, make a choice to get angry, or all these things. It's a choice. It's up here. This is the battlefield. Battlefield's not the body. Battlefield's the mind. This is where we battle. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at 5 through 7. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, set their minds means that's the way they think. They think by the way of the flesh. That's the way they think. That's the way they want to think. That's what they, is reality to them. But those who are according to the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Spiritual death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and inner peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. So when we're in our flesh nature, people, we're not going to seek God's will, God's plan, God's desire. It's going to be by faith, back into the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to have to spend some time on these things in our study of total depravity. Look at Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Satan's objective is to get us off the will of God. What the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. But what I want you to see is the transforming is in our mind. The mind, at the fall, came totally depraved. We've got to transform it, and we transform it daily. How do we transform it? Walking in the power of the Spirit. It's simple. It's not some magical thing. It's not, well, if I learn 50 hours of doctrine, it'll be transformed. It's not if I meditate 50 hours a week, it'll be transformed. No, people, it's just allowing the Holy Spirit transform our thinking, the study of the Word, your life. Just transform us into the image of God. I would be amiss in the midst of reading Romans 1, 8, and 12 if we did not look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Now, some of you already know what that is. Isaiah 26. One of the most powerful passages in the Bible dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. Isaiah 26, verse 3, the steadfast mind. That's the mind that stays on something. The mind that has stayed on Him. So that's our part. God will keep in perfect peace. Stress, anxiety, depression, keep your mind stayed on Him. Keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because He trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord daily, momentarily. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians, this time, chapter 3. Don't have time to exegete or expound. I'm just reading passages that we would normally study at this point on these things, but we'll just note the passages. 2 Corinthians 3. We've got to transform our mind. Keep our mind set on Him. Now look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were hardened. Don't want to harden your mind. Don't want to harden your mind. Their minds were hardened. For until this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. See, what happened, the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and so that they would not be guilty of crucifying the Messiah, they've hardened their mindset that he was not the Messiah, he is not the Messiah, was not the Messiah, and nothing's going to convince me that he was the Messiah, because if I acknowledge that he was the Messiah, I've crucified him. And I can't handle that. It's very difficult to back water when you've made spiritual stands. Very difficult for me. I used to teach that we're filled with the Spirit by works of confession. And then when God opened my eyes to just say, wow, look how many years I've believed it, lived it, look how many years I've taught it. Now I see that's not true. So I went into unbelievable amount of prayer to be able to just make this thing. It's very difficult. But you can imagine a Jew is hardened. This cannot be. Now, I've met pastors that I would talk to about spirituality by faith, and you just see hardened. No! You're wrong! That is wrong! It wasn't just a discussion. No, I don't think so. I've looked at that. No, they were hardened. There's no way it can be by faith. No way it's not by confession. Hardened. We get ourselves hardened spiritually. This is not talking about sin. It's talking about in the spiritual realm. So, this becomes so important. 3:14 now. But their minds were hardened. Don't let your mind become hardened to life. Spiritually or otherwise. Family member, life, treated you wrong, all these things. Don't become hardened. For until the day, very day of the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains, because it is removed only in the Messiah, in Christ, the Messiah. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whose case? The God of this world, and that's what we're studying, that's what brought us to all of this. Jesus Christ said, the ruler of this world. The God of this world has blinded. We've had hardened, blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So here people are talking about what we need to do is just take a look at all these different things. It's hardened, it's blinded, and it needs to be transformed, it needs to be set. So here we have, he's blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Now, we could talk a while, how does he blind the hearts or the eyes, the mind of an unbeliever? What's one of his ace trumps? Religion. That's one of the best ways of blinding the eyes of someone and blinding the minds of the unbelieving in regard to the light of the gospel. Because apparently these unbelievers have some kind of a search, otherwise it wouldn't be talked about. And so all you have to do is blind them as to the truth of the gospel by giving them works. No, it's not by grace through faith. You got to do something. Grace is doing something, and then God responds. And they believe this, and this is what's been going on throughout history. So that's very powerful, 4:4. But I'll show you another one. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Well, maybe we did this one already. Yeah, we did. 2 Corinthians 3:11. But I was afraid, at least the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Your mind should be led astray. So here the mind is led astray. They're hardened and blinded. Now it's led astray from the simplicity of the truth. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Just a couple more. Ephesians chapter 2. People, our mind is the battle. It's just amazing the way entertainment today has polluted the mind. A lot of people can't think very long. They you can't read very long, can't think very long. I used to know, but they say on these TV things they've got to change the scene every 4 seconds or something just to keep people right there. They got to change something, the scenery, that view or whatever it is. People can't think long. I'm tired. You know, 20, 30 minutes of thinking, and they're out of it. Most churches, 20 minutes. That's it. So, but the mind is the battlefield. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 3. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So the mind has, the flesh has its desires, like just eating ice cream. The mind has its desires of what it wants to do. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So there's that wrath. That's going to be part of our study of total depravity. Okay. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, but in the futility of their mind. The futility of the mind. The mind that's not set on Him, people, is just futile. Is it the earth? You got your mind set on the things of the earth, which are material things. It's all going to pass away. New heavens, new earth. It's gone. It's futile. You got to set your mind on those things that are eternal. With my grandchildren last night, and we just talked about only one life to live, to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so we talked about the filling of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and how we can get so involved in the things of the earth, but it's the eternal things that deal with Christ that are eternal and so important. One more, Philippians. Philippians 3:19. Philippians 3:19. Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Kind of rhymes. And set their mind on earthly things. There you have it again. So we can understand, we can set our mind on the things of this earth. Get so involved in what's happened politically, what's happening economically, what's happening in our world, and be depressed and be this. We can set our minds on who's in control. I mean, last night to me was just a wonderful study. One chapter, Ezekiel 39, told the whole layout of history of Israel and how God's going to be glorified through them and all these things. And these are the things that just give us peace, regardless of what's going on. We don't need to get all worked up and about things that are going on. So the battlefield is your mind, your thought process. Is the mind and the spirit that the Holy Spirit influences. Where do you get your thinking? What do you think on? And so let's go to point three very quickly. And point three, how he attacks the mind. This is kind of cool. The way that he attacks the mind is by the way of thinking. Not by what we think, but by the way we think. And very quickly, there are three basic ways of thinking, and we want to take a look. In Romans 1, it says, being wise, they became fools. The question arises, how does man become wise? Man becomes wise by his own thinking. Man is impressed by his ability to think. And again, there are three basic ways of which we perceive. One is faith, one is rationalism, one is empiricism. In rebelling against God, and to become wise, man rejects faith and goes to one or the other, or a combination thereof, of the other two systems. Very, very quickly, let's just take a look. Rationalism is reason from the source of knowledge itself. Rationalism is considered superior and independent of empiricism and faith. Rationalism is dependent on knowledge. It is dependent on one's reasoning ability. Man's ability to look at data and reason out the truth. This is one of the most important reasons why from the first grade we took math. Well, I'm never going to use all this math when I get older and all that. All I want to do is play ball or do this or do that. Math is not about numbers in that sense, whether you're counting money or something. Math is how to think. It's teaching you how to rationally think things through. And that's what math is basically designed to do. And rationalism is the ability of reasoning. Man's ability to look at data and reason. Empiricism is perception by experience and observation. By experience and observation. The practice of relying on observation and experiment without the aid of science or without the aid of theory. Rationalism is based on theory, experimentation, science. Under empiricism, all ideas are derived from some sensuous experience, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, all these things, for the perception of reality. Faith is perception based on confidence on someone else, what they say, what God says. Trust God, the Bible, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, rather than perception based on one's knowledge and rationalism, one's observation. So man thinks his way, and he thinks his way away from God. The fool has said there is no God. Now, I don't want to develop this too long tonight, but just to get you oriented to it, this started in the garden. This is where we should go and study Genesis and look at the garden, where man's thinking became depraved when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That started this whole process of rationalism, empiricism, figuring everything out. I know this, I know that, know the difference between good and evil, all this type of thing. It is part of our fall. And this is where all of this stuff came from, where man's ability to think was to attack God's word and all these things. It made man depraved in his thinking. Instead of being able to just trust God and obey God, not eat of the tree and all, he now starts thinking his way through this thing. He starts thinking his way and he can figure all these things out. His thinking is polluted, or he can no longer think clearly in reality. Because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man has not been able to think clearly in the realm of reality. Therefore, faith and only faith. That's all God ever requires now. Man starts in his own beginning with the fictitious theories of how everything came about. First of all, he says there is no God. Then he starts with his fictitious theories, and then he builds on them, denying that God exists. So then he continues of coming up with all of his speculations on how all of these things got here. So he starts with observation. There is no God. Goes from there. Finally reaches a point where he can pick it up in history, in science, and build it on that. 4. Satan's weapons. Lies. Lies. God accomplishes his will on earth through the truth. Satan accomplishes his purposes through lies. Let's look at John 8:44. John 8:44. John 8:44. You, speaking to the religious Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. See, when we're walking in the spirit, we want to do the desires of our father. They won't do the desires of their fathers because they walk in the flesh. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks the lie. Correct the translation. Whenever he speaks the lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. Father lie, the lie. So this goes back to Romans 1. You reject the truth, you have no defense against the lie. We have no defense against the lie. If you reject the truth, you may say that's not true, but you have no defense against it. A person can say, well, that isn't right, but he has no defense because he's rejected the truth. You take the truth out of our judicial system, take the truth out of our educational system, take the truth out of our churches, you have no defense against the lie when it comes in. None whatsoever. So this is the lie that Satan works on. When we respond to the truth, to the filling of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can work in us. Faith in God's truth versus walking in Satan's lies. Let's take a look at Satan in the garden on this very fact of lies, dealing with the Word, God's Word. One, and we'll just summarize these things. One, Satan questioned God's word with Eve. This is in his discussion with Eve. He questioned God's word. What did God say? He denied God's word. He perverted what God said. And then he substituted his own lie. You're not going to die. You'll be like God. So Eve had a decision. She had already fallen, by the way. She had a decision. She could either stay with what God said or believe the lie of Satan. She believed the lie. And most of us in our lifetime have believed the lie. Eve's response, one, she took away, subtracted from what God had said. Two, she added to what God said. She made it less gracious and more grievous. She said, he said, not touch. He didn't say that. First John 5:3, Satan deceives us into thinking that God's commands are burdensome. What he does to us. Oh, God's commands are burdensome. Walk in the Spirit by faith. So she changed God's word to fit her. And this is what the church does. Satan merely permitted Eve to consider the tree apart from God's word. And when she did that, it was all over. People, we cannot look at things apart from what God tells us. Take a good look at it. Take a really good look at this tree. It's good. Yeah. It has wonderful food on it. It's a delight to your eyes. And it will just satisfy you. And so she took her eyes, got and looked at the tree. It's much like Peter when he was walking on water. Had his eyes focused on the Lord. Everything was fine. Took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the water. Boom. He's gone. So, and there's nothing wrong with the water. Nothing wrong with it. But people, we get our eyes and our mind, our thinking, off of what God says and what God's doing. Then we fall. And we destroy his word. We believe the lies of Satan. So, that's all he had to do. Get our eyes off of the Lord, off of God's word. Focus on this tree. There's nothing wrong with this tree. It's a beautiful tree. It's wonderful. It's good for the delight of the eyes. Desirable to make one wise. All these things. And she listened to his words. She chose Satan's words over God's words. Eve chose Satan's reasoning over God's statements. Man throughout history has chosen Satan's deceitful reasoning over just trusting the word of the Lord. Satan hides his lies. Satan hides his lies in deception. Satan hides his lies in deception. And we've already read 2 Corinthians 11. Well, we didn't either. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, and 14. So let's turn quickly to that. 2 Corinthians 11. Satan hides his lies in deception. That's the best thing to do with a lie, is to put it, surround it, wrap it in deception. 2 Corinthians 11. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It's deception. It's not truth, but he disguises himself into those things. Counterfeit Christians, counterfeit gospel, counterfeit ministers, counterfeit righteousness. Legalism produces a self-righteousness. That's a counterfeit righteousness. Well, the legalists are very proud of their righteousness, but it's a counterfeit. It's not God's righteousness that he gives to us by faith. Counterfeit church. Counterfeit doctrines. Satan's objective is to make the believer ignore God's word and God's will. Therefore, he attacks the word of God, because the word of God reveals the will of God. Okay, our defense is twofold. Defense is twofold against this deception. The Word of God, the Bible, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to point six. With this one, I'll close on the study, this look at Satan. The two greatest achievements by Satan. There are two great truths that Satan seeks to hide, deceive, or blind. The gospel for unbelievers, the gospel for believers. That's all he has to do. Just blindness to those. Historically, Satan has confused, denied, distorted, Galatians chapter 1, change, add to the gospel on how to be saved eternally. That's all he has to do. Does this through religion? Does this through men, leaders through history? But historically, Satan has confused, denied, distorted, changed, added to the gospel on how to be saved eternally. Now here's the key, though. I was thinking about this. When it comes to salvation too, how to recover from sin. Now here is where I think Satan has done a masterful job. First, it really isn't even talked about. Isn't even talked about in denominations or churches throughout the history of the church. How to be filled with the Spirit or by the Spirit is hardly ever mentioned. It's hardly ever mentioned. It's hardly ever dealt with. People, Christians, have argued the gospel for the unbeliever in almost every generation. How are you saved? And boy, you got the denominations, you got splits and divisions, you got arguments on what you got to believe, how much you got to believe, what you don't have to believe, what this and that, all this, these type of things. What can you lose your salvation is argued. Doing something to be saved, you got to join a church, got to be moral. In our day, it's invite Jesus into your heart, make him Lord. Every generation, they argue and argue and argue on how to be saved. But people, the church history is not filled with that argument on how to be filled with the Spirit. It just is not given. It's not battled. gospel on recovering from sin. And this is to me the most important doctrine for a believer. How to be filled with the Spirit. How to recover from sin. And people I have in my office, and I took time to do this, I have in my office a lot of one volume theology of the church, and they list all the theologies, and Schaefer has seven volumes, and just different theological treaties, one volume to seven volumes, and I just went through, and boy, there'd be a whole lot on soteriology. Soteriology is the doctrine of the Savior, so soter, Savior, salvation, and it would be there, and it would be battled, and it'd have pages on it. But when it came to spirituality, and there would be a section on spirituality, and they would talk about the Holy Spirit, but never how to be filled with the Spirit. They would talk about the results, and some even mentioned be filled with the Spirit in their dissertation. I'll tell you how. It's just not argued. I go to pastors' conferences for the last several years now, and we've had just this last one. How are you saved? That was a big, how to be filled with the Spirit? Nobody wants that to be an issue. Nobody wants that to be talked about. The guy that sponsors it, the one we go to, we don't want to get into that. Just don't want to talk about it. He's done a masterful job of taking it away. Spirituality and how you feel with the Spirit, how to be empowered by the Spirit, how to follow the Spirit, how to be led of the Spirit, all these things in Galatians, be led of the Spirit, follow the Spirit, these things, walk with the Spirit. How? Talk about how to be saved. Why, that's a big battle. But isn't it wonderful? I'll just orchestrate this thing, Satan said. Well, they won't even talk about it. It won't even be an issue. Let them argue about how to be saved, and I'll get my 2 points in there. But just don't even have them talk about being filled with the Spirit. Somebody comes along with a way to be filled with the Spirit, and everybody gravitates to it because nobody else is telling you how. So somebody comes along and big movement. Oh, well, this is what you got to do to be filled with the Spirit. Ah, okay, that's it. That's where I was. Hey, somebody finally told me. It was wrong, but they finally told me, this is what you do to be filled with the Spirit, and had a seemingly good verse. So, man, I just got in there, confession. But then you start looking at it, Holy Spirit said, no, that's not it. But at least the reason it got so popular and this thing is because nobody else was even saying anything. So, wow, this is it. And even in response to that, a lot of these people they didn't have an answer. They didn't say this is what you got to do. So this has been a very artistic work of Satan through church history. Just be silent on power. Be silent on how to tap into the power of God. Power of the Holy Spirit. Don't make that a big issue. So it's going to me, it's just going to be a great surprise to a lot of people at the judgment seat of Christ who just know that they've spent their life doing these things for God, and it's just going to be wood, hay, and stuff. If salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone, a lot of people aren't going to make it. There'll be a lot of people there that others didn't think of making it there. And the same thing is true in regard to how to be filled with the Spirit. If God cares on how we're filled with the Spirit, then a lot of people are surprised. And I'll change that since God cares on how we're filled with the Spirit. It's going to be a lot of people surprised. Church has just been a... And if you study church history, you go, boy, what a failure. What a failure. Just look at it. Look at the Roman church and all the killings and the slaughterings and divisions and all the things that have gone on. Why? Very rarely have they learned how to tap into the power, the Holy Spirit, how to love as Christ loved. Very, very few. Some get hold of that love, and boy, they make that the big deal. But boy, you gotta earn that love. You can lose it. We don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, people. They have that peace, that joy. And if peace and joy isn't because we're living a wonderful moral life and giving to the church and going to church, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit pouring that peace into us. That's the secret. So this is one of his great expertise. So Satan has done an ingenious task at keeping secret how to be filled with the Spirit. Therefore, he has neutralized most Christians throughout church history. Okay, look at John 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Oh, no! I started to say next Wednesday night we'll finish John 14. Oh, no. It's got to hang on for yet another week. Next week, Joe will be here. But next, when we come back here, let's see what we got here. Verse 30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. Now, that's where we've left off. Take a look at Satan. But now, what is this phrase? And he has nothing in me. What does that mean? But, and this is a sentence, he has nothing in me but that the world may know that I love the Father and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let's get out of here. So that's where we'll be two Wednesday nights from now. And I forgot. Oh man, I thought next week we'd finish that. All right. But such is not going to be the case. It'll linger on. Chapter 14 lingers on. hold it on. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, how grateful we are that the Holy Spirit has given us the words of our Savior in the upper room. Given to us the words that we need to know that He said. The words that can edify us, instruct us, keep our minds set on the things that we ought to think and do. Father, pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight in dealing with our enemy, the adversary, all of his schemes, all of his devices, all of his lies, how he works on our mind, tricks our mind. We'll be on guard. And to be on guard means that we'll post another guard, the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray these things now in your Son's precious name. Amen.